Yeah, well, now they got that.
You can take the like gondola over there or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're right at the gondola, which is transit really, for really fancy. Those two resorts. It is. I didn't like it, but I accept its convenience because it scares me because it just dangles on a line and bounces. Right. And like,
but I mean, it's a really strong line. It's fine.
Yeah.
That's what I had to keep telling myself, but sometimes it didn't feel like it when we were stopped over the lake or like this open area that they cut into the woods to put it there. And I'm like, this could break.
Well, anything could.
I mean, anything could break.
Like, I don't think it's going to, but I hate when they can stop it.
Like, you know, you know that, like, most of the roads you drive on are, like, kind of empty underneath, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Like all of those could break, too.
This might not be a good line of questioning, you know? Hello, and welcome back to RTFB. This is Travis, and today Chris, other Chris, and I are talking about our brand new book. This time, we're reading The Postman by David Brin and its movie counterpart, principally made by Kevin Costner. I know we're excited to get right into it, but first things first, we need to send our shout-out to today's bookstore buddy, segment name subject to change. Sending love today to Queen Anne Book Company in Seattle, who was, in fact, the first bookstore that we ever collaborated with on a giveaway. I remember it as a cool little store in a very pretty part of town with a big selection of books for its footprint. There's a cafe right next door where other Chris and I had good coffee and sandwiches, and the staff was accommodating and cool, and they even knew what RTFB meant without us having to spell it out. So if you're in the area, make time to check them out. Okay. Now on to my conversation with the Chris's, already in progress.
There's Lego.
There's a Uniqlo there store is. There.
I did
There's
see the fucking, Lego.
Yeah, the Uniqlo store.
I looked at the Uniqlo. I didn't go in, though. I probably should have. But they were sold kimonos there. Because they had one in a big like display you could see from the door.
Yeah. They've got a lot of cool stuff
come buy
there.
A kimono. Yeah.
They have, the thing they have that, many articles of unique clothing.
Yes, they do.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
And they have the best undershirts.
Yeah, so apparently. I've been told.
Mm-hmm. I'm wearing one right now.
I should have got one. Oh, well, I missed out then.
And their underpants are good, too.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's what I hear.
I'm probably wearing those now, too.
Tag fell off, you don't know.
Well, I just don't remember which kind I'm wearing today, but...
That's fine. Yeah.
Oh, it is like... It is like the... shit, I don't know, like Japanese Old Navy.
Yeah, kinda. Basically.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like
quality products for an affordable price.
Yeah, and I mean it's also kind of the joke that, like, you know, if you don't have any fashion sense, you can just go to Uniqlo.
Yeah.
And then you Uniqlo, will.
And then you're fine.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's also, cool. You know, like you will be criticized by certain people for having like you know, like, oh, you just go to Uniqlo and like just pick up everything, like, yeah.
Yeah. Well, they would love my American frump style of jeans and a polo. Uh-huh. And I'm doing better than a lot of people. I don't wear fucking pajamas or gym clothes out all the time.
Yeah, that's true. So. But I mean, if you upgrade to khakis, then you will be like standard issue. Japanese it's, office guy uh-huh. these days, I think.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I do wear khakis to work, but I separate those out in my mind unless I have to, like, go to a fancier engagement.
Yeah.
So. My problem is, though, is, like, then we'd merge the Hulu into not my account. Oh. And I've had my Hulu account for, like, 10 years now, so it's kind of special to me. Yeah, I don't know. Everybody uses it, so I have no idea.
Yeah.
It's just
the one for the house.
Call their DB admin. Like, hey, can I get my shit rolled into this account?
Yeah.
Right.
I bet they do it.
Probably.
If you got the right person.
I mean, if you knew the guy, right, he'd probably be like, sure, whatever.
Yeah.
But my thing is can I still pay the upgrade fee in the bundle to get no ads and better picture quality type of deal?
Oh my god.
Because that's what we pay for, like the no ads Hulu.
Yeah.
So we have to put up with that bullshit.
I paid for the limited ads. That was enough for me.
Oh my god, yeah. They have different ad tiers.
Uh-huh.
Yes, they do.
Oh my god. Can I get ridiculous ads? Like can I
will you pay me $5?
Pay me $5.
Can you get ads from Japan?
All your ads.
No, I want them to
on
like
in the background.
I want them to have a Japanese ads tier and that's all you get cuz those are fucking awesome.
Oh man, I'm still getting insane ads from the internet. I believe I shared one with you the other day. Yeah.
The personal massager?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yes, you know, yes.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Triple stimulation, man.
Wow. You're going to be massaged as fuck.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
In three adjacent areas. That, you know.
The devil's triangle.
Two of which are, like, completely irrelevant to me. Like, who do you think I am, internet? What is going on?
Is it something you can make into a team sport? Like,
ooh.
I have two other slots available here. Like,
yeah, bring the fun for everyone.
Yeah.
No, I don't know what my internet activity is, honestly. Like, what is it saying about me?
Yeah.
Oh, we can't get porn sites in North Carolina anymore without a VPN.
Oh, boy.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Dude,
the legislature passed a law last year that went into effect.
Talking about.
The beginning of I keep forgetting to tell you about it because I don't go to Pornhub.
Oh my god!
So like, yeah, they passed a law that they were going to make. It wasn't to end them, but it was to force the porn sites to actually verify your age.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. By making you send them a picture of your license or ID. Well, the sites were like, "Hey, we can't guarantee the security of this very personal data, so we're just not going to let you access our stuff."
Yeah.
So I think that was the secondary effect the right-wing legislature here was seeking.
They never thought about this.
Like, they didn't want to limit people's liberties on the top of things, because that's off-brand, even though they don't like porn. Mm-hmm. They're like, hey, for us, this would be the compromise.
They never
You have
porn.
To show your actual shit. To prove that you're over 21 to be on here.
Okay.
And then they figured they'd leave that up to the sites to figure out how to do.
Mm-hmm.
And thought, hey, maybe they just won't do it too. And that's what happened. So thanks to ISPs, you know, they just block you from being able to access their shit. So,
it's probably
and there's
smart,
some guy on the North Carolina who posted the North Carolina subreddit. He's like, I'm in South Carolina, not anywhere near North Carolina's border. Yeah, my shit says I'm in North Carolina, so I can't look at Pornhub. And I'm like, that's kind of hilarious. It's like, sorry, dude. Everyone's like, get a VPN. Like, if you get a free one, you can get Proton VPN. Like,
oh my gosh.
So,
oh my god.
This episode
yeah, I totally keep forgetting
by
to mention
Proton
that.
VPN
so,
and Pornhub.
So, how hard is it to buy a gun, though?
Not hard at all.
No.
Yeah. So, like,
and you can carry it around. We don't. You don't have to have a concealed carry permit.
Okay, but like if I go to the airport there, like they're not going to have like the sweet porn section in the bookstore.
No.
And
probably
I'm not going
well,
to be able
know.
To carry that around.
If it's physical, yeah, they might.
Oh,
because all you have to do is like, can we see your ID when you buy it?
Okay.
Like places used to do sometimes. So
yeah,
like they're not
see,
keeping
this...
it. They're just going to vary. That's just like when I go to Walmart and buy wine or something. It's like, is this person over 21 or not?
All right,
you know?
So I feel like we need to start some sort of age verification startup.
Maybe.
There needs to be like some kind of age verification fast pass.
Yeah.
Can you securely store the data, Chris?
We'll
That's
call
the
it
question.
January 1st.
No, keep, nobody can securely
and keep
store
hackers
anything.
From getting it easily.
But that is the risk you take for the pornography that you see.
For free,
you know?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Bring back the old video companies. Just pay them for your copy. Don't have to worry about it.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yep.
They talked about
yeah,
doing
I
that.
I keep forgetting to tell you about that.
In Texas also, but I think Ted Cruz was like, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, that's what
Ted
we heard.
Ted Cruz, who liked incest porn on 9/11 one time and then blamed it on his intern.
Yeah, I was going to say.
He's like, I'm not going through that crap.
Yeah.
They'll just fly to Cancun instead.
Then they'll know it's me. Yeah, they'll just fly to Cancun and do it.
Oh, man. So, hey.
Oh, man.
Not that I don't love talking about porn, but...
Uh-huh.
So, I've been researching this new book, but trying not to get spoilered on it, because I know basically nothing about it. Okay. So, based only on what I think this book is about...
Okay.
If you could restart just one government function after the apocalypse... Mm-hmm. Which one would it be?
Something positive that reaches people.
Uh-huh. Like the mail?
The military. No. Oh. Uh-huh. No. Yeah, something like the mail, like something that links people together, or I would say you could probably try to do a legislative thing, but I think a lot of little communities would probably be doing that.
Uh-huh.
The ones that aren't like, you know, the Raiders or something.
Mm.
So, I'm not sure.
I think there would definitely be somebody, you know, not saying who, but there would definitely be somebody who would go around trying to keep people from having abortions.
Oh.
Yeah, probably. Know?
Like, probably that, that's the version of the postman that would really happen, yeah. I feel like.
Yeah. And then towns like, would be like, you know what? Here? We're putting up walls again, and you have to get through the gate, and we're not going to let you through the gate, so...
Yeah.
You know...
Yeah. I guess...
Offer something better in trade, I guess the mail
does make some sense. I guess the government doesn't technically run the internet, but something that would set up some ISPs would be good.
Yeah.
Yeah, but...
Keep the
then we got to figure out how to teach people to re-access. Yeah, if you could keep it going, then you can probably still access... some of the still functional servers and stuff and find things that we still need.
Yeah.
There's also a group out there that I liked. There's a page you can go to that's just full of free, like, scanned copies of old books and shit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is to, like, download it on an old computer that's easy to charge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And keep that, like, in a Faraday cage or something.
Yeah.
So then you can access all this stuff and have all these PDFs. And these are books on, like, agriculture from, like, 1895 to 1920. So it's realistic shit that people could find or rebuild.
Yeah. And restart, like, things.
Yeah, and it's all about that. It's got agriculture, basic manufacturing through, like, blacksmithing materials and methods, education for shit to... So it's got, like, old primers and shit to teach kids in school and crap to help... To basically restart everything.
Yeah, like, I mean...
stuff you can actually do, you know?
One of like, the no plastics, no while, nothing like that. Ago.
Mm-hmm.
Was Lucifer's Hammer.
Okay.
And it's about a comet strike.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Right. And it, like, I think I mentioned it actually, like it's a really interesting one, and I think it would actually make a really good, like, TV miniseries.
Mm.
Yeah.
Especially if they did it like period appropriate, because it was like written in the 70s.
Oh, nice, 60s.
So start it then. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and basically starts with some astronomers identifying this comet, and they're like, oh, it's going to make a really close pass to Earth, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then they keep looking at it, and they're like, oh, it's going to be really close.
And then it's like, oh shit, it's going to hit us.
Yeah, and then they're like, oh, fuck, it's actually going to hit us. And, like, so it's all about, like, following the panic from, like, different characters' perspectives and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, the impact itself, like, how it basically wipes out half the fucking planet.
Oh, jeez.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it, like, it hits,
so that's,
like,
a small comet, center. Then. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it don't gotta be big. Like, it's moving fucking fast.
Yeah.
But, like, one of the things that happens, like, one of the characters in California has, like, this, I don't know, like how shit works book. You know, like a book for kids, essentially.
Yeah. Right?
But, you know, it's like the way things work, kind of.
You can, like, use that.
Just wraps it in plastic and, like, throws it in their water cistern and then, like gets the fuck out of town.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
well, I mean, honestly, that is, in the initial days, like, especially with comet sighting, you want to get somewhere you can, like, survive the whatever's going to happen.
Yeah. But no one, like, you can come back. You want to get, like, inland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because one of the things they described was there was a dude I think who was like surfing the fucking tsunami.
Oh God!
like the oh, fucking shit. Mile high wave.
Yeah.
Like well, that's that the was, way to survive that was how it, he maybe. Chose to go out. He's like, yeah. Fuck it. Like I want to do this once.
Yeah. I'm never gonna get another chance to do this.
Yeah.
Survival book for like disasters. Yeah. And like the good best recommendation when that was get a bike and put solid tires on it.
Yeah.
Because when shit's out, like even just after a hurricane or something, when shit's power's out and you can't get gas, you can ride that thing around because it's a bike.
Yeah.
It's easy to repair, and with the solid tires you don't have to worry about rolling over shit. Like
you can get
out of town if you need to. Quickly, you can do anything because you're on a bike.
I mean, if it's not, you know, -6 degrees.
Even then, do it.
Just do get it out.
Bundle up, and you'll burn some energy, create some body heat, biking.
Yeah.
Biking through a foot of snow.
Oh, man.
Yeah, nice. Well.
No, I could survive.
Maybe wait for the snow to go down a little bit, but.
Because Levi and I just reread the book Hatchet, so I'm primed for.
Oh, snow. Nice. Nice. I never read Hatchet, so but that was a classic of childhood. I just never read it.
Yeah,
so.
I had forgotten a lot of the stuff that happens in it, but I did.
Of our Boy Scout campfire skills are actually still useful. So yeah.
That's true.
Yeah,
yeah.
I liked how at the very end of the book he found that survival pack. I was like, there were matches in here the whole time, and like
oh, shit.
A gun that I could have used to
what
hunt and fishing stuff.
What?
And oh, this radio thing, whatever, throw that away.
Yeah. Because he's of the woods now, I guess.
It didn't seem to work at first, so we just tossed it aside.
Mm.
But yeah. Mm.
And weather radios for everybody now.
Yes.
We need to get another one. Battery operated and also with a hand crank, so if your batteries run out, you can just charge it.
Uh-huh.
They're useful, apparently. I don't know.
Yep. One of your solar battery things. Or like, hand crank.
That's helpful,
that would charge whatever, but... Now, see, I saw Hamilton, so I'm going to restart the centralized bank first.
Oh, okay.
Because if we can offer credit to other countries and stuff, then we'll be a power player in the New World Order, so.
Our credit will be worth so much.
I'm going to go to Chris's house and get whatever coins he's got left over, and we're going to start a bank.
That could be the bank's initial collateral.
Yeah.
There you go.
Let's check out this sweet British pound. Mm-hmm. It's got one of the queens on it. And that's pretty cool.
Be like, it's silver, so $30.
This is
right
totally
now.
Worthwhile
for
now.
The apocalypse.
Yep.
Oh, man.
Actually, the people who collect silver, the stackers and stuff, we talk about that. And it's called a SHTF scenario, where shit hits the fan.
Ah.
Like, what kind of shit hits the fan scenario you're looking for? And the common consensus is, if everything's so fucking bad, no one's going to give a shit about your silver yet.
That's right.
Everyone's just going to survive. Like, if you have bullets and food, you're better off. But
exactly.
Make it through that period, and then your silver will be helpful after that, once shit has stabilized a little bit and found a new pattern, because then you'll be able to use that to trade for goods.
And if you
but
get silver
the more
bullets,
ideal situation
you're also
is
protect against werewolves.
Yes. But the more ideal situation is kind of a soft collapse, like a major banking crisis or something like that, if you're going to use precious metals.
I see. Because
then society's not gone. It's just harder to, you know, like, it's harder to have value in a national currency, usually, because there's, like, inflation or something like that.
Yeah.
So, like Argentina. Like, if we were in Argentina, like, then it's more useful because the value of your currency changes all the time, but the value of the metal doesn't. So, like, it just goes up with the currency, so I could trade in my $30 of silver and get that day's $30 to buy some food or something.
Yes.
You know.
Nice.
Keep 30 pieces of silver in case you need to betray the new leader of the post-apocalyptic world.
No. That's not an applicable thing for me, so.
I'm saying, if you're in an area where an Antichrist has arisen, you might want to be able to buy people off. 30 pieces. Yeah.
And betray him.
Yeah. Silver bullets and coins. Yeah.
Actually, I think in this day and age, it'd be more effective if you did 30 pieces of gold.
Oh, yeah.
Because that will the value of that will convince people to betray somebody for some small gain.
30 bitcoins.
So,
guys, if I become the Antichrist after this,
I'm sorry, Chris. You, I can't like
it's not. It, you're not making it look good for me.
How am I going to know if you're an antichrist or not? I'd probably just see you as some kind of like global tyrant. But then I would be like, but is the tyranny bad or not? I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, he's not the Mashiach. We know that. Because he's not bringing the temple back. But
I would be benevolent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, like...
Like, honestly, I don't think you would give a shit.
You know?
I don't think you would give a shit if people wanted to believe in stuff or not. You wouldn't be trying to convince them to worship you. So... Oh, you're going to go full North Korea?
Chris played a full. I mean, if the world's falling apart, maybe that's what the world needs.
I don't know.
I mean, if I can bring the nation back from collapse, I mean, who's to say I'm not? You know?
Seriously.
I mean,
well, yeah, that's true.
Maybe they should.
That's true.
He restarted Pornhub after the apocalypse. He deserves all of our praise.
Yeah,
we didn't.
Maybe
have to
Trump's onto
put
something
our IDs
there.
In.
Then I don't know. Right.
Oh my god. So good.
I love us.
We should talk more about sorted, the then.
Yeah, that's yeah, right. We got everything we need, right? And, you know,
yeah.
Postal service, bank, and porn,
and Jack trucks.
That's it. That's
roaming
society.
Jack trucks for all. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. See, if we did that, even though it might be a cart to start with, that would bring civilization back. People would love us for that.
I don't think
the Jack cart would take off. I'm thinking about like I'm thinking about like the.
Just have a horse, like the
sort of like tinker, you know, the dude walking around with his like cart full of like, you know, like pots and pans and like
paraphernalia
random shit and like. Mm-hmm.
Except ours would be masturbatory devices that we found in the ashes of civilization.
Yeah,
exactly.
You'll have cashed in all of
like
those.
Like we brought
them
back. We cleaned
them
up. You know, we got them for you. Yeah.
This is how
you know. It's like
we found some old batteries. Hopefully, they still work.
He's like the, you know, the Jesuit monk of masturbation. Spreading the gospel. Oh,
we'll just get some bees.
I was about to say,
that's
too,
how they used to do
thinking
it.
Of apocalypse stories I wouldn't mind them making a TV series out of is that Canticle for Leibowitz.
Oh, that that would be excellent.
Yeah.
I've got that in my to-be-read shelf for a long time now.
I love that book. Thanks to you, Chris, because you told me about it like 12 years ago or 11 years ago in like one of our book club nights. And I got it, and I read it. I got it from the library and read it, and now I have it as an audiobook, too, so never want to hear it again.
Nice.
But loved it. Fantastic story.
Well, I'm glad you loved it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thanks.
Good times.
Yep.
So
hopefully we'll like this one.
We got a new book, right?
We do.
Uh-huh.
And this is the first one that we're doing that I had, like, zero idea who this even was. Like, I've never heard of David Brin.
Never?
Never.
Never?
He was fairly popular in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah.
I've got the one from that was discarded from Canada.
Discarded
right. I'm
from
excited
Canada.
About that. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're like, we don't fucking need it. Our government's not going
from
anywhere.
Winnipeg. We don't want it anymore. Yep, Winnipeg. Yay.
I've been there.
Yeah.
Yes, you have. I've never been to Winnipeg, so maybe someday.
As always with these guys, I learned that this guy wrote a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah. He did. Like I used to have a bunch. Like, I had when I was in the sci-fi, like book order book club thing for a bit. Yeah. I got The Postman, and then I got his bound like collection of his Uplift Wars or whatever.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Uplift series books because that was real popular for a while too. I didn't get to read those, and then it got that shit got destroyed in that storage unit flood. But
yeah,
he had a lot of stuff. Like I remember seeing him in the bookshelves a bunch when we were young.
Yeah,
like we were kids and teens and stuff, and now he's like gone.
Mm-hmm.
Like you don't see his shit anywhere. Like yeah. I'm pretty sure as I was looking to get The Postman again, it was like it's like out of print or something right now.
Oh, crazy!
Right.
So, at least as a book, I think you could probably still get the, maybe get the Kindle version or something. I can't remember.
Yeah, oh.
But
so I have to go afield to look for it.
Yeah, that's why mine is a discarded library book.
I got mine from Powell's, Chris. So they probably still have some there.
Yeah.
Oh well. So. Okay. Well, let's fuck off to Portland, I guess.
Well, I mean, you can order it online. If we want to go to Portland, why not? When do you want to go get your book, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, it, you know, next weekend maybe. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Go for it. Yep.
Fuck off to Portland.
Yeah.
Just right. to go to a bookstore and have a coffee and come back.
I can think of right. worse reasons to go places.
Yeah, maybe yeah. maybe get some wine, you know.
Yeah.
They got right. some good wine up there.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Some salmon. They have good salmon up there, too. Smoked salmon.
So yes. Good old Glenn David Brin, who mm-hmm. was born October 6th in 1950 and is still with us at 73 years young.
Wow. Good.
Born in Glendale, California.
Okay.
And winner of various Hugos and Nebulas mm-hmm. and Locus and Campbell Awards.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which I had also never heard of a Locus or Campbell Award.
You never I've Locus heard of Locus, is the but other
Campbell's. Yeah. Yeah.
My ignorance is on full display with this book, is what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Mm.
Okay. And you might be surprised to hear that he's known for his hard science fiction.
Yes, he is.
Yes.
Which I've learned does not refer to the state of your penis while you're reading it, I guess.
I mean, correct. I mean, it depends on the person, I suppose.
Yeah.
Like, oh, usually yeah, those calculations.
He really thought
gritty
this
and bleak?
Oh, man.
Yeah. Like, gritty and bleak.
Yeah.
Things
like
that.
But he also has a PhD in astronomy.
Mm-hmm. Really? I didn't know that.
And that's has cool. wrote, like, some four real articles in professional journals, mm-hmm. like Omni and Popular Science and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So he's, like, legit.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very legit.
It's got a lot of different stuff he's written in the fiction space. So you mentioned the Uplift series mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. High Horizon books and eight other standalone novels and short Jeez. Story collections.
Mm-hmm.
And wow. he even made an entry into the Foundation universe, which I guess mm-hmm. you can do that.
Oh, they did that a while ago.
What other people?
They did prequels and sequel, stuff. Like some more bonus features.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's like official fan fiction or something.
Right.
You want to think about it that way.
It's Foundation's the Legends or whatever.
Prequel books, Asimov wrote himself or set out before he died, so.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But.
Yeah. I got really excited, though, when his Wikipedia page says that he designed the game Tribes.
Oh,
which he did, but not
true.
Not that Tribes. He wrote a game, worked on a game, card game called Tribes, not Starseed Tribes.
Okay,
but he did write the story for the Echo the Dolphin game that was on Dreamcast. So
what?
They're like, you wrote That's about intelligent awesome. Dolphins that one time in Uplift. So
yeah,
write about this intelligent dolphin.
Yeah,
I had the second Echo the Dolphin game on Sega Genesis, but I could never get past the first part. So I don't
that
know
is
what
the
it's
Echo
like.
The Dolphin experience.
Yeah.
You start it up, you
do
a bunch of
flippies. What the fuck do I do in this game?
I just would jump around shit. Yes. Like, I made it into the tunnels one time, somehow, that I could never figure out how to do it again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then fucking drowned, because I couldn't find enough little air shells.
That's how you play Echo the Dolphin. You do a bunch of flippies, and then you give up after, like, 20 minutes.
Yeah. So, somebody, please make a new Echo the Dolphin game that you can actually play.
There you go.
That would be nice, please.
That'd be fun.
Get the Sonic Mania guys on that.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Also, he's still writing his blog, and he updates way more often than we do, so, you know, fair play to him.
Oh, wow.
Really? Yeah. I didn't know he had a blog, so
and
there we go.
He's available if you want to consult on your business and stuff.
Oh.
Nice. I wish our business was big enough we could get him to consult.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could get him on the podcast, and we could,
That would,
like,
that might actually boost our numbers
I'm
going to
get him on
bit.
the movie episode.
There you go.
Okay. We could be like, why did you let this happen?
It's like money.
If you were going to start a mobile masturbatory service, what services should we offer?
How would you do it?
These are the important questions that we have.
Right. Yeah.
It's totally worth your time, sir.
Mm-hmm. What's your consulting rate for an hour? Okay, we'll pay that.
We'll pay you half, and you come for half of an hour.
Yeah. But we can afford half for half an hour. Is that all right?
Yes. So the book
version. All right, we'll set it up with your assistant.
Of the Postman as one unit was published in 1985. Mm-hmm. So it is actually younger than all of us. But originally it was published in two parts. So the Postman in 82 and Cyclops in 84. Some of us are younger than some of the parts of this book, so I don't feel old anymore.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. But both parts were nominated for Hugo Awards separately, so that's a good sign.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He suggested that he wrote the book as, quote, a rebuke of celebrations of mayhem in the many derivative post-apocalyptic fictions that appeared in the wake of Mad Max.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a little bit in the spirit of Octavia Butler here, being like, you guys think it would be so fun, but just think about it.
It would kind of suck.
It would kind of be the worst.
And it goes and it goes to my question of what's the point of surviving if you don't try to, like, carry on and rebuild?
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't mean that the conditions of life at that point will allow you, but you gotta try.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I'm talking about, like, even the zombie apocalypse. I'm like, what is the point of surviving all of this if you just turn out to be a murderous asshole? Like, there's no point. Man. Then you're just like the zombies.
Gotta be better, like, than the zombies, guys.
You gotta carry on the flame of humanity.
That reminds
pass on
me
to the future survivor generations to eventually rebuild with.
Yeah,
that reminds me of another possible, you know, post-apocalypse scenario. From Trigun.
Oh yeah,
where what survives is the fucking insurance company.
Yeah, there we go. Yep.
You gotta earn those double dollars.
Something to bind you together.
Yeah. So, I've never read this book. Hamson
has read
half
of it. Yeah.
Other Chris, have
you
read
this before? A long time ago.
I've not read this, no.
Okay.
So, I only remember that...
I've also not seen the movie.
No,
me neither. I've seen the movie several times.
But I am a fan of David Brin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, cool. Without spoiling anything, Hamson, can you give us, like, a flavor of what vibe we can expect here?
Yeah, positivity and struggle.
Oh.
Like, adversity, trying to rebuild. There will be characters that you hopefully grow to like, mm-hmm. who face problems and maybe potential life-threatening situations.
Mm-hmm.
The best
and maybe grow as a result?
What?
Right.
Weird.
And the best sidekick name ever of Ford Lincoln Mercury. So they call
pretty great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he
explains why he's younger than the Postman character, so that's why he chose his own name when he
John
went out
Postman.
Into the world. So
Ford Lincoln Mercury.
Ford Prefect.
Ford Prefect.
And I've always liked this story because of its, hey, this is the story, like, of people who tried to rebuild and stuff like that, you know, like kind of being remembered. Maybe further down the line, or there's like an epilogue at the end or something too that talks about, like, and it's in the movie as well a bit.
Yeah.
The importance of this for bringing people back together and rebuilding after the end of the world. So instead of just being Mad Max forever, it's like, oh no, people went through a shitty time, but we eventually got through that and dealt with the assholes.
Yeah.
And we're finally able to kind of rebuild a bit after that and create, you know, some stability and nice times again. So for people.
Hooray.
Guys, can't we finally just get past Thunderdome?
Right. No, you need them kids from the airplane.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Tell
beyond
them
Thunderdome, I fucked up
every night.
I stole from Rick
so they remember their. So they remember their past.
Yeah,
but yeah, well, I appreciate that because a lot of apocalyptic stuff, especially from then, was like, nope, it's just shitty.
Yeah,
Thunderdome type stuff all the time. Are you going to be the awesome anti-hero character, murdering? You know, assholes or not.
No, you're probably just going to die.
Yeah, probably.
Most likely, you're just going to
die. In those worlds, you're going to die. You're going to be the fucking water people at a Morton Joe's place.
Yeah, there you go.
Begging for shit. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So, but in this, it's nice because it's people just trying to make it. And, like, because I can't remember how many years after the end of the world it is when it starts. But, like, it goes around and there's, like, you know, people have farms going again and shit like that. But, you know.
Yeah.
It's good.
Cool. So the movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
This came out in 1997.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So the same year as Starship Troopers. So
oh my God.
I did not realize that. Like, I felt like it was...
I didn't remember that either.
I don't know. The turn of the millennium is where I kind of put it mentally, but...
Mm.
Nope. And it's starring and directed by Kevin Costner.
Yeah.
Released on
apparently
Christmas
he liked
Day,
the book.
And it was roundly criticized and more or less completely bombed.
Aw,
yeah.
It's
well, we'll see how we feel about it, I suppose.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
I still think as an adaptation, it's okay to fit a movie screen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
you know, in a 2-hour time slot, but it's not going to do what you want it to do completely, of course.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
But it still gets the gist of the story across of some guy gets stuff and tries, ends up spreading hope amongst people, and that's what helps them overthrow, you know, the assholes and build back better.
Yeah.
Sorry. Mm-hmm. Sorry to use that phrase.
How dare you.
From politics here. But
well, I guess
that's like the main overarching thing about it. And Costner likes stories like that, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it doesn't help that he had come off of doing Waterworld, and they're like, this was the most expensive flop ever. He's like, I can do better.
Keep trying, Kevin Costner. Like,
almost 30 years later, Waterworld's not too bad of a movie for its time.
For its time, yeah.
So.
But, yeah, basically at the time, people were like, you put yourself in it too, and it's 3 hours long?
Yeah.
Again? Mr. Costner? Yeah. So it's got had a $80 million budget and ended up making just under $21 million and only five in the first weekend. So
yikes.
That was
such
so
small
good.
Budgets, though. I'm like, remember those days when a big expensive movie was only $80 million? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, on Christmas, too. Like, only $5
million. Yeah.
But, so some
like, if it was September, I'd be like, that's okay. But no.
Some other movies it was up against.
Oh,
that year.
Hey, oh, yeah. Ahead. Say, guess what else came out for Christmas around Christmas in '97? Fucking Titanic.
Yes,
exactly. We saw that at Christmas. That's what we saw on Christmas of '97 was Titanic.
Wait, did it come out in Christmas? I thought Titanic.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Because it would have been summer.
It came out right at the end of '97 for Christmas, and that way it was 85 years since Titanic sank.
Yeah, yeah.
It's 1912.
Fair.
So. Yeah, totally they wanted fair. To make sure it could get in for the Oscars.
So yeah,
had time to hit be a holiday hit. So, but most people saw it in like January and February,
right?
Of '98.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. And continuing on into the summer of '98 too.
Right.
It was still out, but
yeah.
Good God.
So some other movies that it was up against that outperformed it: Titanic, Men in Black, Jurassic Park 2,
yeah,
Batman and Robin,
that was good.
Face Off.
Sorry.
Contact.
Oh, sorry. Ooh, I liked Contact. I have that book somewhere.
Fifth Element. Starship Troopers.
Oh my God.
And even that was considered
just,
a bomb
so
at the time.
It didn't really do well, this Postman.
Speed 2. Man. It did better than it.
Man.
And Event Horizon.
Like, what the fuck happened? Like, where did movies go?
Seriously.
I don't know.
Like, come back.
They just save them up and they have like a banner year, like 1997 apparently, and 2001.
What the fuck?
Yeah. So
like,
some
no,
movies,
like oh god,
like actual like, stories and not just sequels.
It's like, because like, the budgets were only like $80 million. They could make more than one movie each season. Like,
they can still god, make like, good movies for $80 million. They just like, choose like, not to.
Like, I'm just like. I'm racking my brain trying to think of that many movies in the last fucking decade.
Yeah.
Right, like, that oh, were different
no,
and
were
good.
1997.
And...
Right.
Like, yeah.
That's because all of them in the decade have been like Marvel movie and DC movie.
Yeah,
yeah.
Pretty much.
And a Disney movie every year almost.
Sometimes too.
That does, may or may not does well, yeah.
Right. So some movies it did outperform that year. Well, in that
most
calendar year, I should say.
Okay.
Turbo, a Power Rangers movie.
Okay.
Space Jam, but only the part it earned that
good.
Year because it came out the year before.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Cole the Conqueror.
I forgot that movie exists.
The re-release of The Godfather. The Pest, starring John Leguizamo.
Oh, God.
Oh, okay.
And Warriors of Virtue, which I definitely saw in the theaters, and it was pretty awesome.
Okay.
It was
speaking
like,
of The Pest.
Yeah.
There was a guy, and it's when I was in high school, when my sophomore year, I had Mr. Kirschman. He was our religion and philosophy teacher.
Yeah.
Guy was probably an atheist, but he did a good job of teaching us
like
ethics and
teachers.
Philosophy and how to debate stuff.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But he, I had him for study hall second semester. So he was one of those teachers, guys like, if you guys just come in and do your shit and don't cause any problems, like, you can watch movies and crap.
Yeah.
So we did. Like, that's where we watched my copy of The Matrix. Things like that. He's like, just don't tell your parents, because technically we're supposed to get permission to watch rated R movies. But one of the guys in my class brought his copy of The Pest.
Uh-huh.
And it was annoyingly funny, but Mr. Kirschman took it and never gave it back to him.
Oh. That's sad.
So I still feel kind of bad that that happened, but it's also hilarious. He's like, hilarious. No, this was a terrible movie that nobody ever needs to see again. Like, I'm not giving it back to you.
Fair
enough.
And he didn't.
And we found its, like, smashed empty box, like, 2 years later in the WCCP editing room. We're like, Jesus, he really was serious. So, whoopsies. Wow. Yeah.
He made that movie more collectible is what he did.
Apparently, yeah.
Wow. So
it's okay. Sadly, Mr. Kirschman died, so I can tell these stories now. Nobody will hold him to account. That was actually pretty sad this summer. Sorry.
R.I.P.
Bringing up a sad point. Sorry. Yeah.
But the movie, right? It has Tom Petty.
Yeah.
So how bad could it be?
Right.
Yeah. Maybe he'll play a cool song.
Maybe. Probably.
It was also nominated for 3 Saturn Awards. And
five
Golden Raspberries, which it won all of those, including Worst Picture.
Worst Picture. So, I'm excited now.
I would still tout that as someone involved in that project. Like today, I'd be like, yeah, we won 5 Golden Raspberries.
It's up there with Catwoman and whatnot. So
it's better than Catwoman.
Are you
having
sure?
seen both of them, yes, it is better than Catwoman.
Well,
but was it the best side movie of the year? No.
It is slightly
but it's fun. That's why it's
Halle
fun.
Halle Berry's Catwoman.
Yes, it is better than Halle Berry's Catwoman.
Well, the thing that gives
me hope... I'm sure Halle Berry would agree.
Yeah. The thing that gives me hope is that Brin himself seemed pretty happy with it. Like,
oh, okay.
There was an original screenplay that they had to throw away because it had totally reversed the moral of the novel.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
He's like, no, we're not doing that.
Yeah.
They just made another Mad Max movie.
Pretty much.
Probably.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically. It's like, you got it exactly
wrong.
You
could
wrong.
Do that with certain characters from the story.
Right.
But yeah, that's not the point of it.
Yeah.
Right.
But like, it's a perfectly fine 1997 era adaptation of the story.
Yeah.
It's not the best it could have been, but it is serviceable, I think.
Yeah, you know,
so
it's
maybe
good.
You guys
maybe
may,
it is
you
the
may
best
disagree.
It could have been.
Maybe I just like it because I watched it as a kid, too. And, like... Well, team, and like this is neat, you know.
I suppose we'll find out, right?
Guess that's the only way to know for sure.
Yeah.
My question is going to be, where can we find it to watch it?
Ooh,
because I don't know where
question.
It's available, and I might have to buy it, but hopefully on Blu-ray because I don't do DVD anymore.
Well, let's go this real quick. The Postman. I'm sure it's on like Amazon or something. Yeah, you can get it on YouTube for $5 or $4.
Okay.
It's not like streaming anywhere, but you can get it online.
Right, right. Yeah. Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
Just got to make sure I have access to it. So.
Yes.
Like, the movie exists, why can't we watch it?
Because that's not what we do, sorry.
Yeah.
So yeah, they talked about how Brin like was pretty much all in on having Costner being the main guy from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But he was very specific, being like, I want Field of Dreams Costner, not Waterworld Costner.
Yeah, there you go.
So...
That's a good way to put it, yeah.
Yeah.
And I suppose Kevin Costner was like, all right, can do.
Yeah. Well, apparently he turned down Air Force One.
To do this?
Tell people to get off his plane to come and do this. And I don't know if that's the better decision or not, but...
I don't know that it was either, but it's what happened.
I mean, I don't know. Like
Costner
like,
being the president in Air Force One, I don't know.
Like, I mean... I suppose that, I don't know, if you had a choice between, like, you know, a lot more creative freedom.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, you know, just doing a fucking
just being
movie,
the main actor. Yeah,
just
that's
being
true.
Being a guy.
Punch and kick.
Maybe people. It was the right choice.
Yeah, I feel like that's what he would have rather done, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Especially at that like, point.
And then he made
yeah,
Swing
that point in his career development. He did.
Or whatever.
I think I've seen that, but I can't
so
remember.
I was thinking to myself, like, is this why we don't see much Kevin Costner anymore? Is like,
have you not watched Yellowstone?
I have not.
You need to watch Yellowstone.
Is he in that?
Fantastic. Yes.
Oh,
he is the patriarch of the family, and he's ruthless, and it's fantastic.
I haven't watched Yellowstone, but I have gone to Boosie's, so I feel
you
like
should watch
insane.
Yellowstone. Yes, yeah, they had a lot of Yellowstone stuff at Boosie's.
I'm saying.
I was very
they
pleased
did.
By
basically
that.
The same.
Yeah. It is a fantastic drama. You will hopefully like. I love it.
What about the one with Sam Elliott?
Oh, The Ranch? That's amazing, too. That's a great show.
Mm.
Great show. If you haven't watched that, too, you should watch it. They're both about ranching.
Well, all right.
Do you want a ruthless Montana ranch family dynasty in Yellowstone, or you have a small-time ranch family trying to continue a legacy and get along in the ranch with some really good one-liners? They're both really good, so you should watch them both.
I'll just watch Tombstone again. I also just wanted to make sure I got this bullet point in here. On the Wikipedia page, it says this movie was cited by Rolling Stone as one of the 50 worst decisions in film history.
Oh, wow.
I guess I'm the only one that likes the movie then.
Yeah, it seems like it.
This might be the year, guys. This might be the year Daniel is like, I really hated this.
yeah. But Chris didn't pick this one. I did.
Well, no, but here's the thing. I don't know. I feel like I'm consistently surprised.
That's true. She might love it.
Fucking love this.
Ever since Planet of the Apes, like, she might love this.
Is Kevin Costner's ass in this movie?
Probably. Yeah.
I think so. I feel like,
but it's still like that 90s Kevin Costner body, so
yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. I mean, if his ass is in the movie, then I feel like she might like it.
She does like a nice ass.
Well, hey, I mean, so do I for the ladies, so what? Yeah,
who doesn't?
Like, I totally understand her love of butt
ass. Anthropologists for years have said humans like ass, so
we do. Yes. And the semi theory of why breasts are always there is because they look like butts.
Yep.
So I don't know if I agree with that, but that's been a theory.
That is a theory.
Like, yeah, because we are unique, and we're the only ape species where the females have permanent breasts.
Always
like that
comes back to asses, you know, for you guys.
What can I say? I was a butt man from my teenage years on, so.
Oh, boy. Yeah. So reading this book, right?
Apple Bottom Jeans song was a nice one for me.
Not acknowledging that.
Moving on.
So this book, like, the chapters in it are weird. It's one of these books that is like, this chapter will be 20 pages, and this one will be half
and the next
page.
One is two. Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
But if we divide it in half, it pretty evenly divides between the first two sections and the last two sections.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, because I put mine in half, and I got chapter 12, Oregon. So
yes.
Oh, my God.
So if you read section 1, Cascades, and section 2, Cyclops, then stop when you get to section 3, Cincinnatus, that'll put you almost exactly in half of the book.
Okay.
So, all right.
So I guess I better go buy this book.
I guess
somewhere.
You better should.
Oh, I didn't realize my book has somebody's imprinted my library seal in here.
Ooh. Whose library?
Library of Daniel L. Hatherly. Oh, Matherly.
Daniel L.
Sorry.
Matherly.
Daniel L. Matherly.
Shout out to Daniel
DLM. Matherly. Yep. I got your book from Powell's website, just so you know, buddy. Hopefully you're still alive. I don't know.
Talking about keeping your personal information secure. Putting a blast on the most widely listened to book podcast in North America.
Right? Jeez.
And Zambia.
And Zambia. What if we are, I mean, we're not, but what if we were insanely popular in Zambia? How weird and awesome would that be?
I think we have to go check it out. Let's go into Oregon for the weekend. We're going to Zambia.
Yeah. We're gonna do our live recording in Zambia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We could get people to turn out.
I'm sure we could.
Yeah.
So anyway, we'll figure out a time to meet again and talk about that, but time to get reading.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
What else is good, you guys?
Man.
Stuff. We're thoroughly in the middle of the school year.
Yeah.
Second quarter's ending right before my birthday, but I got to give them a middle of the year eye-ready diagnostic next week. or this week, yeah. like starting tomorrow.
Yep.
So that'll be fun.
Yeah.
We got to start. I never read the book we're supposed to read, but I'm just going to start teaching it anyways. Because they need to read it. Like, I can read it before they do. That's fine. That
sounds right.
Yeah.
My principal wanted me to have read it, but I'm like, that's just not going to happen.
Is this a fiction book? Like, or?
Yeah, it's Refugee by Alan Gratz, which I just learned that probably the reason we push him a lot, too, is he's a North Carolina author. So he's, because our school librarian sent out an email Friday, he's coming to town, I think, in February.
Yeah.
So with ticket info, and your ticket, it's like $25 to see him, but it also gets you a new copy of his new book.
Ooh.
Heroes. It's like something like Pearl Harbor or something.
Interesting.
But Refugee, from my understanding, follows three refugee children, a Jewish kid in the 30s, or during World War II in Nazi Germany, a Haitian girl in the 90s, and then a Syrian girl and a kid in 2015.
Yeah.
So it breaks them up into, like, you'll read one chapter about one kid, then, like, or a couple about one kid, then some about the other, and they all get tied they all get tied together at the end.
Yeah. But
they all have, like, kind of, like, harrowing experiences. Like, I know what happens in the Jewish arc, because I was told that.
Yeah.
By Mr. B last year, and Mr.
Mr. Beast?
Other guy. No, Mr. Breathauer. But Breathauer is a hard name for kids to say, so he's Mr. B. So I learned about the Jewish kid, but then the Haitian kid, I think, gets attacked by a shark because their boat sinks when they're trying to make it to Florida or something.
Yeah.
God damn.
And because I learned that from, we talked about it at the English teachers meeting thing I had to go to in October, where I also got a lot of shit to how to do this book, so I don't have to, you know, like, mapped out everything.
Nice.
Yeah.
But one of the fun projects this one teacher liked to do is have the kids make this, like, photo collage thingy.
Yeah.
Like, of stuff about each kid. And one of them, like, so if one kid, like, had his little brother lie on the ground and covered his leg in ketchup to represent so-and-so, I'm like, oh, so I bet that kid, because Mr. James warned me about, like, let me know what you think about there'll be an encounter with a shark. I'm like, okay. And so now I know what happens with that kid. And I don't know much about the Syrian refugee one, but yeah, it's Refugee.
All right.
And it's, I don't know, it's the book that 7th graders have to read this for 7th grade.
Yeah.
I'm like, my kids aren't going to read, but oh well. Like, they don't read. They don't want to read. They can't read a paragraph without bitching about it. So. Yeah.
You should have had them do the...
It's too long! I'm like, it's four sentences. Read it.
You should have had them do the Captain America book that he did.
Maybe. But, well, no, this is determined by the schools. They have to read Refugee.
No, but they should have done the other one.
Sure. Just like, I think they need to get rid of the fucking boy in the striped pajamas for the 8th graders, but they're not going to do that anytime soon.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
We don't like, it's a very controversial book in the Jewish community.
Because it's made up.
They could be reading a fiction story. It's made up. And it centers on a German kid.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sure, that's different. Let kids read that on their own. Like, it's not real. And it's presenting a fictional experience. And they're treating it like it's real.
Right.
And it's not. And we don't like it. I'm like, if you want, there's plenty of good, you know, age appropriate for, like, 8th graders Holocaust material out there.
Right.
And the boy in the striped pajamas is not it. So.
It's not it, fam.
Yeah. Like, if you want something centric on the experience, you could do, I don't know, like, Number of the Stars, like I read. Even though that's centered on a non-Jewish kid, too, it's very accurate on what happened with Denmark and how they got their Jews out.
Yeah.
So something like that. If you want a heroic Holocaust story, do that one.
Simon read that in 5th grade. Not too long ago.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but I mean, that's a good one for that age, around that age frame. Yeah. And like, yeah, so we'll have to do that. Well, but right now we're reading, it's our space unit in the textbook. So we read like an informational text about some stuff, about like Mars colonization. Oh, now we're like reading Ray Bradbury. Well, it's the way our book does it is there's a theme for every unit. So there's a mentor text for that one that everything else is themed around. So that was the one about Mars colonization. No, that was the one about why we should go into space and colonize stuff, like go elsewhere. And then we had one that was about a Mars colony, like details. And then you get a fiction story. So we're reading Ray Bradbury, like what was it, like their eyes were dark and something, or I can't remember what it's called, but...
Kind of reading like Princess of Mars
short story
about what Mars is like.
And then oh, And in my adult Brit Mitzvah class, I got recommended a cool book.
Oh.
I'm also reading Hebrew Roots, Jewish Routes.
Ooh.
And it talks about, like, a lot of different cool stuff, but it focuses on, like, Hebrew words. Because they're learning, the adults are learning Hebrew. I already know how to read it. But, like, there's some of the root stuff you can kind of see.
Sort of.
So it'll pick a root and, like, focus on its meaning and go into in-depth about it.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be Hebrew root words that are very common or important to Jews, like,
as that sounds a whole. Cool.
So belief and philosophy and living and things like that. And, like, the way it's divided up is part one, there's a part one, deep Hebrew. Like this chapter one, put some past in your future. Hebrew in the contemporary Jewish experience.
Yeah.
Chapter two, Hebrew as opposed to what? The Jews choose. Hebrew in other languages. When a community is multilingual. Talk like an Egyptian and Babylonian. And so stuff like souvenirs of Babylon, Holy Aramaic, Arabic in the Sephardi Middle Ages.
Hmm.
So they do that stuff and pick different words to focus on, like different Hebrew word roots to focus on.
That's nice. Cool.
At that time. So yeah, it's a pretty neat book so far.
Cool.
Yeah. So I've been delving into that too when I can.
Sweet.
Yeah. It was hard to find it though, because my Amazon app could not find it, but Amazon on the internet did.
What's it called?
So I'm like, okay. Hebrew Roots, Jewish Routes, but Jewish Roots, Routes.
Yeah.
A Tribal Language in a Global World by Jeremy Benstein.
Ooh.
So.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's kind of trying to make the case that all of us Jews should know at least like Hebrew like this in the book to connect us all together.
Yeah.
And whatnot. Since half of Judaism, half of the Jewish people speaks Hebrew and half of the Jewish people speaks English. Mm-hmm. So it's like, let's kind of like bridge that the way it used to be bridged with Hebrew, at least biblical Hebrew stuff. Because that's the nice thing about the focusing on the roots is even if most American Jews would like only learn biblical Hebrew to an extent, like they can still connect with modern Hebrew because it uses the same roots and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They've just created different vocabulary out of some of that stuff.
Yeah.
But he goes over some of the modern Hebrew stuff too, so people can kind of connect that way, which is nice and cool, I think. So
my first search turned up a book called Hebrew Roots of Mormonism, and that seems
confused. I saw that on the list. Yeah.
That seems very confused. I don't know.
Well, I'm sure they borrowed stuff from, you know, the Tanakh and other things to make Mormonism, so.
I guess.
Anyway. I mean, if they were smart about it.
Well, and they did build that whole, like, weird fake story that focuses a lot on supposed Jewish people. The Book of Mormon.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Yeah. The book that Although they translated, and they're like, translate it again, because we lost it. It's like, oh, okay, hold on. I'm like, it's completely different this time. Oh,
well, no, that's a section, and that's because Joseph Smith was told not to share it with anybody but himself and his translator, Oliver Crowdery, but he told his wife about it one night, and that was a big no-no, apparently.
Oh, no.
So he couldn't get that section back, and he had to, like, try to go from memory and talk to Moroni about it or something. So it's different. It
was called Moroni.
Yeah. Awesome. They made a movie. My friend Alex went and saw that the other month. There's a movie that came out with Billy Zane in it that's about Moroni.
Billy Zane?
Billy Zane's the bad guy.
Man, can we get Billy Zane on the podcast?
Probably. We probably can.
Let's see if he's on Cameo. Let me see.
He's probably not expensive. Yeah. But my going theory is like...
Are you busy these days?
The Book of Mormon is so fantastically strange.
Your friend Billy Zane.
I don't think Joseph Smith could have invented it completely, so my theory is that it comes from in a parallel universe.
Oh, man.
A parallel Earth where this shit actually happened.
Like,
so they're thinking it happened here, but it didn't. There's no evidence. There's no record. There's no effect based in it, but I'm thinking it happened in a universe right next door.
So my friend...
a parallel Earth.
My friend showed me this game online, and I cannot remember the name of it, but basically what it is it's like a duel between movie people, and like what you do is you start with a movie, and then you have to name a linked movie either by someone in the cast or by the director or and he told me that he got into a Billy Zane off
Like, that's nice.
Like I see your Titanic and raise you a Phantom.
Right.
You know? Like,
no one refuses the
Phantom.
Well,
I feel like this movie could be like the ultimate Billy Zane Trump, because no one's going to have heard of it. And they're not going to believe it. And they're going to look it up and they're going to be like, well, damn.
Yeah. I mean the goal of the game is to try and work somebody into a corner where they can't think of a related movie, right?
Yeah.
And so it's like I think you can only use the same connection 3 times. So it's like, yeah, if you could get them into that Billy Zane corner and they can't name another movie with anyone else in it.
Oh, like, and when Alex was telling me about that, I'm like, is Billy Zane Mormon? Why would he make this? No, he's Greek Orthodox.
He just likes money.
Because his real family name was like Xanatakos.
Oh, wow.
Something like that. And he shortened it. Well, his parents did because they were involved in the theater. Mm-hmm. So they shortened the name to Zane because it was better for theater stuff at the time.
I mean, it's a sweet Greek name.
It is, yeah. Then their Greek name. And he's like totally Greek because both his parents' background are from Greek immigrants. Mm-hmm. Like, their parents came from, his grandparents all came from Greece. So I'm like, that's pretty sweet, Billy Zane. Pretty sweet.
Billy Zane, join us on the podcast.
He's a cool
I'm
guy.
Like, do you have a really great family spanakopita recipe? Because I would love to know.
You know? He should open a taco shop.
Yeah, right. Greek tacos, make that.
So he's not on Cameo, and neither is David Brown.
Oh,
but you know who is? Uh-oh. David Herman.
Mm. Okay.
You can have him do voices from Futurama or Office Space.
Perfect.
Oh my
Perfect.
God.
Or even Touchy from Disenchantment.
Oh.
And all the proceeds go to St. Francis Center of Los Angeles. So,
Oh, David Herman's a cool dude too.
Nice.
Yeah, that would actually probably be cool then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. That's a lot of good things.
Yeah, it's many.
Yeah, sorry, many I feel like things. I overwhelmed it.
Except for Happy Place, I didn't even show you a coin. But
yeah,
we talked about coins up front. That's
Happy Hill.
Yeah.
Okay, other Chris, before he shows us a coin.
Oh my God, he's got a coin out.
There, I put it away. Put it away.
Okay. Breathe easy.
Yep.
Other Chris, what else is good?
Oh, Jesus. Okay, so let's see. I've been reading a few things. I started reading, you know, those final interview books.
Final interview books.
Yeah, there's a series of books called, like, The Final Interview. And, like, I have one from Ursula K. Le Guin, and I have one from Octavia Butler.
Gotcha.
I've been reading the Octavia Butler interview. It's actually several interviews that are compiled, and it does contain the final interview, like, at the end.
Oh yeah.
But it's very interesting, right, to see sort of her perspective on life and writing, and, you know, sort of what she has to say about different things, and even to see sort of like what opinions of hers stayed the same and what changed over the years through the different interviews.
Yeah.
And sort of like getting her take on like her reasons for writing things and, you know, sort of, yeah, just she's a really interesting person.
Yeah.
And
this is known, but.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I would recommend that.
Yeah,
definitely. I started reading, and this one is a tougher one to get through, but, I'm still on this sort of like, psychology self-help kick, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
And, I started reading a book called, Adult Children of Emotionally Immature Parents.
Nice.
And, that one is like, you know, it's tough to get through, not because of like the reading level, but because of the emotional content, I suppose.
Yeah.
And how, man, you read through it and you just like every couple of pages kind of have to set it down and fucking process something.
Uh-huh.
So,
I was going to say, were your parents emotionally immature?
I mean, I would say maybe
in
one of them.
Ways.
Okay.
Yeah.
That might be an offline conversation, but yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Sure.
But you know, I recommend that for probably most people.
Right.
I feel like that's something most people could get something out of.
Right.
Yeah.
And then watch the first episode of the new season of True Detective.
I forgot. I keep forgetting there's a new season. Yeah. How's that coming out?
Oh, man. Like, it's pretty fucking excellent so far. Nice. I'm excited for this season.
Very nice.
Cool. You know? Yeah, it's got that same sort of, like... There's a little bit of, like, otherworldliness to it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like there was in the first season, and I appreciate that.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
I need to go back and finish the first season.
It's yes, worthwhile. You
do. Yeah.
Yeah.
And this one is shaping up to be a good one.
It's
even
awesome.
After just one episode, I'm quite excited for it.
Like it's been on my list long enough that someone lent me the DVD of the first season.
Mm-hmm.
And then I didn't watch it, and then like HBO Go became a thing, and then Max, and now it's just Max, and I still haven't watched it, and I still have their DVD.
You should watch
right there.
It.
Oh, there it is.
So I need to not only watch it, I need to give it back to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. I got to watch that with Chris and Sharon.
The second season isn't quite as good, but.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched it with you guys. Okay.
That was when we did our HBO night.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
I like Dongo. That was
Dongo
good.
Got fried chicken.
She did. Dongo and she still kind of loves me for that.
Yeah.
Nice.
She sees me and she's like, oh, hey, chicken guy. And then she figures out I don't have any chicken for her and she wanders off and looks a little sad.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
So, she's like, I thought we were friends.
Yeah. We had a deal.
Yeah.
You bring
she's
me
like,
chicken?
I would like you in exchange for chicken. I'm like, but Dongo, I think that was probably bad for you. And she's like, I don't care.
To grab something, I'll be
she doesn't care.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah, our HBO nights were kind of a highlight in my grad school experience.
Yeah.
I can hear you again.
Oh, my
good.
God.
See,
you're
there
back.
It is.
Yep.
Whoa.
Aha, yes.
What?
There it is.
Yep. There it is.
So, sorry, was that the end of your list before I jump in?
Yeah. Yeah, that was it.
Okay. So, we talked about it in the chat. But I finally got all the way through Death Note.
Oh.
The all-in-one edition.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I just want to really
your
highlight how of much of a monstrosity this fucking thing is.
It's almost
a cube. Having
it
all together is insane. Yeah,
yes,
exactly.
It is basically a cube of paper. And
I'm like, how do you efficiently read that? Like,
you don't. You just don't. It is just short of 2,400 pages.
Oh, jeez. Mm-hmm.
Like 100
that sounds
or something
right for
chapters.
How many volumes you could buy.
So,
wow.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I saw this on the shelf, and I'm like, I don't know if I really want to read Death Note, but I feel like I have to have this.
Yeah.
Just for the sheer audacity of it.
Just,
yeah, exactly.
You know, yeah.
And it was only like $30, so.
Really?
Yeah.
That's very reasonably priced for a cube of book.
I mean, they
right?
They put it in a box. They could have printed it in two volumes, god damn it.
A tree.
I think they wanted, I think he wanted to go for the absurdity of it. Yeah.
But yeah,
I think they wanted just to make it absurd.
I've developed carpal tunnel in both hands now from trying to hold it.
Yeah.
It was never easy to do. I had to have like a system of pillows set up, but.
I believe it.
So yeah, in general, I liked it. It had some interesting ideas in there about, you know, the death penalty and justice.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
You know, how people might react to the idea that they could just be literally killed at any time if they do something bad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the kind of fucking crazy person you'd have to be like, oh, I can just kill anyone? I'm totally in. Right?
When you think about it.
Yeah. Mm. But, well, I told Danielle, I'm like, this is your dream scenario. Like, this is what you want.
Yeah, actually, that makes sense.
It's like, that guy, what is your name? I'm sorry, what's your name? Thank you. You will be dead in 30 seconds. No, but I guess I didn't realize going in that it was like a shonen.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't realize how much of it was going to be that kind of non-advancing of story.
Mm-hmm.
Where stuff happens, but it doesn't really change anything. So I kept expecting there to be more contrived,
more
like
actual
plot twists and stuff, and not that there weren't them in there, but it was a lot of them being like, this will fool him into revealing who he is. And he's like, oh, I did that. And he's like, haha, I got you. He's like, but actually I outsmarted your outsmarting. And now I knew that too. And so I double tricked you. And I'm getting away with
double
it.
Trick.
Exactly my plan.
Right. Yeah.
And
so
yeah,
here's, I have a couple of recommendations based on this.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So one of them is, Bakuman.
Mm-hmm.
You should check out Bakuman, both the manga and the anime.
Yeah.
Because I believe Bakuman is the same writer-artist.
Oh, yeah?
Pair.
Okay.
And Bakuman is about high school kids who make manga.
Oh, cool.
Oh, nice.
And it's kind of a, it gives you a little bit of a view behind the scenes, and it also has some of that sort of shonen feel of like competition and overcoming adversity and like,
right,
like here's how like you make it as a manga artist, and you know, folding in maybe some like true experience, and like, I don't know, the characters are really interesting, like it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also interesting because, like I said, it's the same artist-writer pair, I think.
Right,
and,
right.
Like, seeing that sort of style, but applied to this other, like, totally different kind of story is really interesting.
Right.
And in terms of, like, convolutions of logic and just sheer, like mind-numbing strategic thinking.
Yeah.
I would recommend Kaguya-sama.
Oh yeah.
I've
seen that, but
yeah. So imagine that sort of like Death Note. I've outsmarted your outsmarting, but it's applied to the student council president and vice president.
Nice.
Who are actually in love with each other, but neither one of them wants to admit it.
Oh, gotcha.
And so it is them just trying to like finagle social situations in which they force the other person to confess to them.
Yeah. Okay.
Because they don't want to be the one to do it.
Right, right.
And
I think when we were scrolling through all of Crunchyroll, you brought that up, but
mm-hmm. Yeah, it is very good. It's very entertaining.
Nice.
And yeah, like kind of a lighter version of that sort of like battle of wits.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
But it's actually, I would say like all of the little set pieces are like really clever.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Cool. I will look into those because now I've got a Kinokuniya membership, so I can get a discount.
Ooh. Oh my god!
I know, I'm
impressed. Like that.
I wish I was close enough to a Kinokuniya to warrant a membership.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, man. after we're done recording, I'll tell you about the bullshit I had to go through for Sailor Moon, there. But, yeah, the other thing I wanted to mention about Death Note that surprised me was the lack of twists.
Yeah.
There weren't none, but there were some that I was like, okay, so this lady's walking away and we think she's dead, but we didn't see her die, so I expect her to come back and have... Nope.
Nope.
I was like, okay.
She's just gone.
This guy's really smart and he seems to be dying here, so I bet he's fake. Nope. Just dead. But if it's something that you're interested in and just want to know like the story, the anime seems to really condense it down in a way that I think is pretty smart.
Yeah,
like take a whole bunch of the crap about long diatribes about how they figured out what that guy was going to do, kind of just get to the point. So
yeah,
it's only like 30 episodes instead of, you know, weeks of reading. So
right,
so anime is faster and better.
Anime, yeah, there you go. Okay.
Master Shake told me the TV is faster and better. So the other thing I was going to recommend that I just finished yesterday is also kind of in that same sort of like self-help, mental well-being type of category. It's called We Need to Hang Out by Billy Baker. It's way less serious than any of the other stuff that I've been reading recently, but it mm-hmm. is focused on like adult male friendships.
Yeah.
And how, you know, especially people our age can get into the thing where they're like, well, my first priority is my family. And my second yeah. priority is work, and then there's no time left for fucking anything. So,
yeah,
like friendships kind of fall away right. pretty naturally at this point in our lives, especially for men.
Yeah,
and how like women have more or less figured it out that they're much better about keeping friendships going through like phone calls, and they can, you know, communicate that way and have friendly feelings towards one another.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas men could do that, I guess, but more likely they have to have something they're doing.
Yeah, exactly.
Even if that thing is nothing, they have to kind of be there and have that yep. shoulder-to-shoulder type activity. So,
right.
So yeah, he wrote an article about male loneliness for the Boston Globe and mm-hmm. then decided he was going to try to take steps to restore his friendships, and this is like the memoir of that.
I see.
So, it's got some good points to make in there, although I was a little put off because he's like, man, I was such a loser, I have no friends and stuff. And mm-hmm. then he talks about how he made a list of like his 150 friends that...
Oh, God.
I'm like, all right, buddy, like...
such a loser.
What a Ugh. Loser. Like, who could God. Imagine having so few friends as that? Like...
Yeah.
Talks about how that's like the scientific number of relationships you can even keep going. And he was like right at the max. Like. So some of it came off as like, we took our annual trip to Disney World, but we had to stay off campus this time. Like, oh no, cry me a river. But there were some good actionable items in there. And
yeah.
it was, you know, more lighthearted and
yeah.
just kind of continuing on the trend of like making an effort.
Yeah, exactly.
To engage with people and not be like a crusty old man.
Right.
Which I'm dealing with. Which is what I've been dealing with. But things that have helped people reconnect is like Wednesday night.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, we don't necessarily know what we're doing, but we're doing something. And it's every Wednesday or every other Wednesday.
Yep. Yep.
Or, you know, joining a bowling club. So you have something yeah. to do. Or... He said the thing that seemed to work best for him and his circle of friends was they went on a treasure hunt.
Mm-hmm.
I guess there's some poet that like hid potentially millions of dollars worth of gold coins somewhere and like wrote a poem.
Yeah.
That you can go and find.
Yeah.
I forget what it's called, but
I've heard of this.
A quick Google would turn it up, but I'm not.
Yeah.
and so they're like, they decided they were all going to go where he thought it might be in, outside of Yellowstone, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And they all dressed up like the Goonies and then just went and fucking did that. Like, we're going on a treasure hunt because nothing will engage a man like being like, there's potentially money and we're going to go fucking on an adventure.
Yeah. I mean, like Dane Cook, I mean, however you feel about Dane Cook, I suppose, but
yeah.
he did have that whole bit about like how all men just kind of want to go on a heist.
Yes.
Yeah.
A heist or like a journey on a wooden boat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel so, like that.
Especially if
I'd
there's
be down
plunder.
For either of those things. Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, right. If we could have a stick, a yeah. cool stick, and uh-huh. we can maybe get some money out of it, and we have yeah. to go someplace. That's all we really need. So yeah. We need to hang out.
You need to hang out.
Yep.
I get it.
Yep. Anyway.
Yeah.
So yeah. Yeah. Cool. I didn't want to stop recording until you came back, but any
Thanks.
Final thoughts there?
I appreciate
there?
It. Not from me. I'm looking forward to this read, and yeah, I hope we all enjoy it. And you know, just
yeah. well, we had fucking
I had
better.
A lot to talk about this time. Next time, I probably won't have as much, but that's okay.
We had fucking better enjoy it, or you're out.
Oh God.
Well, hey, you know what? That'll
one
free up
strike
some time
and you're out.
No, just kidding.
All right, I am going to hit stop over here now, though.
Okay, I'm going to hit stop.
Okay, that was our session for today. Homework for next time, if you're reading along, is to read the first two sections of the book, Cascades and Cyclops. Extra credit, send us your favorite bookstore that you want us to give a shout out to on an upcoming episode. You can hit us up on Facebook or Xter or Blue Sky, or you can email us at contact@rtfbpod.com. For On Second Thoughts today, my apologies if you are the person that I borrowed the first season of True Detective from. I know who you are, you know who you are, but I don't know if you're a listener. But if so, sorry. I have taken good care of it, I just need to get off my ass and get in touch so I can give it back. One of these days, I guess. Today's episode was also listed as one of the biggest Hollywood mistakes of all time, thanks to Chris Ham, other Chris Jacobson. It was edited by me, Travis Rowe, and was sponsored by no one in particular. Until next time, keep fucking reading.
Pretty great.
But yeah, I guess Chris was talking about it earlier about the country clubs. Like, basically what he ended up finding is that one of the things that's been really successful in Australia is men's sheds.
Yeah.
Which are basically just buildings they put up and like, all right, men, go to it.
Yeah.
And they don't like have
go partners. Hang out there, yeah. And like,
just do whatever. Just go be there.
Go hammer on some stuff or like...
Do whatever you want. Like build a fire.
do some drinking.
Drink if you... Well, it's Australia, so they're going to anyway, but...
Yeah, they were already drunk when they got there.
Right.
Yeah. But
yeah, just having a place.
Yeah.